Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler Mergen, and I have Remay here. And so she is here from Spain, and she's going to talk about personal brand story. And I'm really excited for this because even though this is a flower farming podcast, the number one thing that people ask me if they're in my coaching group, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Product, in that Facebook group, it's marketing. It's a lot of questions for how do I sell the flowers? How do I do this? How do I naturally do this? Because again, our business is not growing flowers, it's selling flowers. And that's frustrating for some people. But I am so excited to chat with an expert on personal brand stories.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I am looking forward to this conversation.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. So you are a strategist to help with personal branding. What made you get into that? I'm curious how someone, you know, finds that very specific niche.
Yeah, so I was working in a windowless office and I wanted to work remotely, but that company was not okay with that idea. So at the end, I decided to quit and start my own business. There, I started as a VA for course creators, but soon I realized that strategy was the part that I enjoy most. Then I get into personal brand strategy. And through that, I realized that, yeah, story is what makes you different, because no matter what is your service or what you are offering, there are more people, more companies offering something similar, but your story is what makes you unique. And it's a great way to talk about what is the key factors of what you offer, how that's different, what are your values. Using your story for that is really a natural way to highlight the benefits of what you offer and a natural way to attract people that will resonate with that.
So I'm reading through, we kind of did a little bit of a pre back and forth things to talk about. And the very first thing on there is so relatable, because something that I get asked all the time. And the question is how to choose what stories to share when you feel like you don't have a big epic story. And this is something that I want you to come on here and talk about, because I personally have a big epic story. I have a huge epic story for both my farm and my coaching, and I share it all the time. And I hope no one has the same story as I do. I hope that you didn't start a farm stand on your husband's 130-year-old family farm, and then he passes away, and then you find out you're pregnant, and then the community rallies behind you. Like, I hope that that's not what it takes to be successful. And I do believe that, you know, in the early years of my farm, that's why people rallied around me originally, but that's not what has sustained it into going on year five now. And then same thing with the podcast and the coaching, just the very real, I'm a nurse practitioner. I have a doctorate degree. I'm highly educated, but not in business, not in horticulture, floriculture, not in sales, not in taxes, none of that, but I've learned it. And so I do share my big epic story of how I got from there to here. But how does someone who doesn't have that big epic story, when I say just share behind the scenes, just share your story, tell your story of your farm, and they're like, well, I don't have anything to talk about. Well, I hope that they don't have something to talk about like me, because it's not all rainbows.
Yeah. So yeah, you absolutely don't need an epic story. And what is important is to look for stories that are relevant and meaningful. And that's can look like so many different ways. One of the reasons why I created a framework where instead of looking for one big epic story, we look for 10 little moments in your journey that they are connected. Each of them are connected to what you do, with your values, with your audience, with the people that you serve. They are related to your work experience, to academic background. So there are 10 categories of them. That was a way to, instead of trying to look for one big thing, it's just, okay, let's explore your journey and figuring out which stories make sense. And if you want, we can maybe share examples to make it a bit more tangible. Because let's say someone started this business as a way to build a legacy for their family. So they can look at their own stories and think about, okay, why I started this project? Why this is important to me? Or maybe someone else is focusing on growing something locally because for them, sustainability is really important. So maybe they can think about their own stories, like, I don't know, just making examples here, okay? Let's say this person was participating in a challenge for in a year not buying new clothes. So they can use that moment and that decision as a way to talk about how important is sustainability for them. Or let's say they are talking about certain varieties of flowers that they are producing. So there can be a story behind that, why you choose those, or how, let's say, when you were, I don't know, in high school, you got to a book where there were all the flowers of your region and you get attracted for that. And then you want to study different varieties and trying to recover some special flower that is not possible to grow now. You have different stories, and none of them needs to be traumatic or really epic in that sense. The most important part is that they are meaningful and they are going to help you to connect with the people that you are trying to attract. That could be the final customers, that could be the florists, because at the end of the day, they are a person that needs to decide where they buy their flowers from. So you can use stories, and I have worked with different clients, different industries. And the good part about finding stories that are relevant to you is that you have a lot of examples and natural things to share. I have a client that she's a web designer and she loves gardening. So she's in a different, totally different industry than our listeners, but she also enjoyed the gardening and the cultivating and all that. And she uses that as a way to illustrate how she liked to do the gardening in a specific season, and then enjoying in the summer, just enjoying the garden and the work that she did. And she does the same for the website. So she worked on the website for intensive periods and making everything ready and then deliver, and then the client can enjoy that. So all that to say that you can look for just stories that are relevant to explain your approach and what is important to you and why you are focused on a certain industry or on a certain way of doing your work.
Yeah, and I think that people get so hung up on the professionalism and, presentation, and they don't even want to hit post. I probably should take a moment to proofread a little bit more once in a while, but everyone knows me. They know that I know how to spell. They know that I have a doctorate degree. They know I'm not dumb. They know that I type fast and I move fast, and if I have a spelling mistake, I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to be embarrassed that I used the wrong grammar form, or I didn't put, I didn't put an adjective in front of the verb or bad verb or whatever." If someone is hung up on that, like, move on. I promise I'm not dumb. I know what I'm doing. It was a typo. Move on. And so I think that that is what my brand has really become, is just this authenticity and transparency. And I think that by displaying that with my farm, I was able to build this platform of the podcast and get the farmers to trust me. Now, I'm finding, as I'm kind of restructuring what my farm includes and adding more weddings, that is a different level of professionalism. And I'm having a hard time, like, I pause for the first time, I pause before I share something because still want these brides to want to be a part of the farm and, to understand that. But it really is more of a service and more of a, as much as they care about buying local, buying sustainable, buying whatever, at the end of the day, what that bride prioritizes for their number one thing is that their wedding bouquet is beautiful, right? And so there's that trust element too. So I'm really careful about what photos I use, or just showcasing the look still, while still my voice is the same. Everything is the same. It's just maybe I'm using more design photos than, the the messy field that I would before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like taking care more of the visuals because they are going to be relevant for them. And this is something also for the stories because we can share the same story in different ways depending on who is the audience that we want to connect with. For example, with yourself, as a flower farmer, you can share one story that is relevant for your audience as clients, but also you can share the same story for the coaching for other farmers, but the angle might be a bit different. And the same with, let's say, for example, you just mentioned how the transparency is important for you. Maybe you can go to your past work experience as a nurse and look for some stories there where transparency was also something relevant in that environment. And you can talk about that with a different angle. It's like a bridge. You use your stories as a way to talk about something that is important to you or you want to highlight. So for our listeners, I encourage them to think about different stories that maybe they are not related to the work that they do now, but look for how they illustrate what is important to you, your values, the things that bring you joy. Even something like, I don't know, what is your favorite flower? Why this is important to you? Maybe there is a story to share, and that's an opportunity to connect with your audience and with the people that is going to be attracted for that. And it's like, yeah, I want to buy this. I want to be sustainable. If I build this relationship with you as a farmer, I will probably go back. And this is also important. It's not just for new clients, it's also for building that relationship with our audience.
And I think that I have to get back to this original plan. Like, it seems like every 6 months I can see myself straying away in my marketing from, or just it becomes a little unorganized, it becomes a little chaotic, and then you have to like bring yourself back to your roots. And I do want to put a podcast episode about this, but what I did in the beginning was things would fall into certain categories. Maybe it's a quote about flowers, some sort of deep connection. And for me, it might be like my healing journey and how flowers help me heal. Another part of my story, a huge part of the story, is, the Century Farm, the legacy that my daughters are the sixth generation farmers. And, their dad, their grandpa, their great grandpa, their great great grandpa, their great 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 grandpa, their great 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 grandpa farmed on this exact land. So it's a quote about how flowers help me heal, something like that. Like, that's one theme. Another theme is my kids working on the farm. And, some people don't want their kids on social media. I do find a balance of what I share or don't. Ultimately, I kind of struggle with that back and forth of what that looks like, but they see me doing it. And so they want, my daughter wants to talk. She wants to talk to the camera and teach people about flowers. And so that's kind of another theme. And then rather than focusing on, the products like my subscriptions, my weddings, my this, my that, these are the products, it really is the backstory of the farm. And that's what I try to like capture. And then I find it so much easier in the summertime if I have, three or four categories of, it sounds silly, but my husband, he likes to fix things around our farm. And so he's always got this level out. And for whatever reason, it's become this like standing joke. Like, I mean, I could probably post something twice a week of him like with his level out and he had like a level in his pocket or whatever. And, but that is familiarity that my customers come along with, like, oh, he's got the level. It's funny. Like, what's he building now? What's he doing? And even though it's nothing related to the business, and I'm not going to post that in a post because then someone will stumble upon my business and be like, why is there a picture of this guy with a level? But if I put that in the stories and the background and the behind the scenes, then it's that familiarity. It's harder than it looks to like stay on track of that and not just look so random.
So I love the idea of the categories. I think that's a great way to help you out to think about content or communication. I think even the level, bringing the level, you can connect that with the idea of the quality standards or things like that
Yeah, like
and
we
make
take
it.
things seriously. Things are, yeah.
And use this internal joke that I feel that this is what builds communities, not just an audience, but also its community, right? And then something that I want to go back is the idea of you don't need to overshare. For example, you mentioned about if you have kids, if you want to share about them or not. It's on you, and you are the one deciding the level of details of what you share, in the sense of you can tell the same story going really into detail or just sharing it in a superficial level. And what is important about the story is the emotions that bring you and the lessons that you got from that experience. So you don't need to go and share details that you don't feel comfortable with. This is one of the big mistakes that I see is the lack of boundaries. So you are the one deciding. Share what you feel okay and comfortable with. And this is something that will evolve because at the beginning, maybe you are more comfortable sharing about certain things, and then maybe you change your mind, and it's okay. You are the one deciding. It's your business. You share until the place that you feel comfortable with. And then something really important to me is the difference between private and personal. When we talk about personal stories, they are stories that share and convey who you are as a person, but they don't need to be private stories. You can have private stories and not sharing it. And that doesn't mean that you are not going to have a memorable, profitable personal brand.
So, for those that are listening that just have reservations about they don't even know what to post, they have this freeze. What would be a good thing to get started? I mean, maybe it's sharing their favorite flower. And then, if they know that they've told their audience that this is their favorite flower, then it just becomes this theme, like in their stories. Hey, I'm planting my snapdragons. They're my favorite flower. Show a picture of the snapdragon. And then you can talk about the other stuff. But then a couple days later, oh, I'm so excited. My seedlings, remember, these are my favorite. Like, just it sounds silly, but it, and then people wonder why, you have a favorite flower, you have a favorite, if you're so interested in something, it makes sense that you have a favorite or a preference. I remember 5 years ago when I was really into running marathons and my friend and I were talking, and I said something about, yeah, Desi's my favorite. I have her book. And someone overheard us and they're like, you have a favorite runner? Like, you are so passionate that you follow professional runners. And so I think that there are people who probably you have a favorite kind of flower. You have a favorite task to do. And then that just makes them curious about it. Like, well, what are other kinds of flowers? Or even if you share things that you don't like doing, washing buckets. I hate washing buckets. I hate washing buckets. And I post that, like, we're always washing buckets. And then that gets people, that really is, it can sound negative, but it's highlighting the quality of my flowers. Like, it's a necessary thing that I have to do. If we don't wash the buckets and disinfect the buckets, your flowers aren't going to last long. And so you really can turn those everyday tasks into, your audience is like, wow, she washes buckets because she hates it. And she does that for us. These things are not random, right? There just has to be a lot of intention behind it.
Yeah, something else. We have the idea of the what is your favorite flower, but then another idea that I would like to share is think about when in your life you like to have flowers. Let's say for someone having flowers at home, remind them to a family gathering, fresh flowers around in the house, or a tradition that you have that every Friday, I took one flower and I put it here in my table, and so on. So you can have, even in your day-to-day life, you can have some small habits that are related to flower in a way that you can use that as a way to connect with the people. Then also something that is interesting to maybe think about is the different seasons. The different flowers for different seasons, and also the different seasons in life. How we have flowers around us in the different stages of our lives, and how they mean different things, and they can look different, but how always they are connected to caring about others, is connected to love, to trying to like support each other for the good and the bad. And to celebrate, and also to support someone in a not so good time. So you can think about this kind of stuff for yourself. And then, as you said, bringing us a topic that you repeat, because this is another of the three biggest mistakes, is the lack of repetition. And I encourage you to repeat the stories, and you can use different angles, different examples, but bringing the same topic is a way to keep building that connection so they get familiar with those that are relevant for you. And there are more people getting to you. So it's people that maybe they haven't heard about that, or maybe you have shared a story, a post or a social media content, but they haven't got to that. So it's always good to repeat ourselves because yes, we are doing that and it looks like everyone is reading the same and the same, but then there's so many impact, so many messages that it's good that we repeat the message in different ways, different angles, but repeat the same concept. Yeah, so it's easier to spread that idea.
So I am peeking at your website right now. I'm going to put the link to it in the episode notes, but I think that this is really going to help people learn how to build trust in those audiences and those connections. And again, you might sit there and say this has nothing to do with flower farming if you're listening to the podcast, but this is something that will make your marketing so much easier. And marketing leads to sales. When you realize that, okay, these things that I'm doing, just helping your audience understand why you are so passionate about what you're doing, why you care about serving them, and how you can put this all together and tie it all together. Anything else that you would like to add or share?
Yeah, I would love to also share how you can use your stories when you identify your stories. And the framework that I created is the 10 story connector framework. So you have your set of 10 stories to use. But no matter how, if you do by yourself, you get help from someone else. Whenever you have your stories, then you can use them in different ways. You can use it in the About Me page, but also in your content marketing. If you get to an interview or a podcast episode, you can use there. But you can be creative about using in the photo shoots. If you are doing a networking, how to use there. I have clients that they have used their stories when they were doing a sales calls as a way to highlight a specific benefit of something that they want to highlight.
The more deeply you understand the why behind anything that you're doing in your business, we want our customers to understand the why so that they buy things, right? But in my own business, the more I understand the background of why something is important or what I'm doing, it gets easier. It gets more fun when you need to get people on board. I mean, even my husband did not understand for a year and a half what this podcast was until he finally saw like the in-person. These people listened to the podcast every week and they gathered together, 40 of them traveled a long way to meet each other. And he's like, oh, this is cool. I get it now. I'm like, okay, now when I'm down in the basement recording an episode, he's not, what are you doing? Like, there's other stuff to be, he just, it's hard to understand like where the value is in it.
Yeah, and this is something also connected to the idea of the long-term strategies, because I feel that, for example, podcast is a great example of how you build something, you create something that is relevant for your audience and for new people that arrive to your world. It's not like an Instagram story that is just one day and then it's off. It's something that is there. The same with the stories. It's like working on figuring out which stories to share will help you to have some foundations that will be relevant, not just for now, but also in the long term. So that's, I always try to figure out what is the long term. And then the other thing is repurposing. I love repurposing. And how, if you, for example, go to a podcast interview, how then from there you use that content in different ways, all that. If you, let's say, are creating content during the process of doing your work, you can be documenting that. You can make it in a fun way where you have these diaries of your farm and you are sharing daily things that are happening. You can include your stories there as a way for you to be a bit more natural and not so, you don't feel so forced because you have like a structure for doing so. So make things easier for you. And then look at what is your communication style. Let's say how you are good at writing, you are better in video. Let's say you are always sending voice notes. Then maybe use that idea of audio content for creating your content or your communication with potential clients and collaborators.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. She and I both joined a podcasting matching network. And you know, I kind of put a feeler out there for the type of guests that I'm looking for, and I do want to sprinkle in, you know, one episode a month, kind of like this, right? Because it's I have some audience that really wants to talk about growing flowers, and I have some audience that wants to talk about marketing, and I want some that want to talk about, you know, resiliency and mindset and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, well, okay, this fits in great. So thank you so much.
Yeah, this was a pleasure. If any one of the listeners want to get some examples or ideas on how to explore their own stories, I am happy to share and handpick some selection for them. So just feel free to to contact. Always
Yep,
happy
and I'll
to
have
talk
all of
about
your, yep,
stories.
I'll have your contact information in the episode notes.
Nice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.